Defence Minister Tánaiste Micheál Martin has condemned the IDF targeting and firing on UNIFIL outposts in Lebanon. He said it's a breach of international law to protect peacekeepers. The head of the UNIFIL mission told the Security Council last night the safety and security of UNIFIL troops in Lebanon are increasingly in jeopardy and operational activities have virtually halted since late September. Retired Army officer Senator Tom Clonan joins us in studio. I know you're following this closely. What's your read on these latest developments?
So I believe there will be a deterioration in the on the ground in Lebanon. So the Israelis have now moved a fourth division north to the border. And up until now, the Israelis have come across the border near Marun al-Raz, which is where Irish position 6-52 is, where we have our 33 men and women kind of, you know, they're stuck there. They can't patrol, but they are carrying out their observation and monitoring duties and witnessing what the Israelis are doing. So they have advanced in there. And there's another position, 6-50, which we haven't really been talking about because it's mostly Polish troops on that position at a little village called Yaroun. It's not far from where the other Irish position is on the border. And the village of Yaroun has been completely destroyed by the Israelis. And, you know, if people have ever travelled to places like Crete or the Greek islands, that's what that part of South Lebanon looks like. And these beautiful hilltop villages, Yaroun has been there, I don't know, hundreds if not thousands of years. It has been completely destroyed. And that's
and the IDF intention is to push Hezbollah back over the Litani River. Does that mean turning South Lebanon into what we've seen in Gaza?
Absolutely. And with the casualty rate, over 2,000 Lebanese, mostly civilians killed at this point, it matches precisely the casualty rate that was experienced in Gaza. So the events in the last 48 hours, the firing on UN headquarters at Nakura, that's 50 kilometres to the west. So this is the beginning now of the Israeli ground incursion, because they had Merkava tanks and troops on the ground in the vicinity of the UNIFIL headquarters. And again, for the listeners, that's actually right on the Mediterranean. I've been there several times. So what the Israelis are now doing is they're opening up a second axis of advance. And my feeling is that in the month or so that we have leading up to the US presidential election, and when we have a president-elect, Netanyahu is going to exploit that window of opportunity and move his troops as far north as he can. Now, they've ordered the evacuation of Lebanese civilians from towns and villages as far north as Sidon. So they're going to go beyond the Litani. And again, the range of the missiles that Hezbollah now have, in fact, they could fire them from anywhere in Lebanon and hit cities in Israel as far south as Eilat. For the Irish troops, this is going to be a very dangerous moment. I know that the Israeli tanks that moved away from 6-52, some commentators welcomed this and felt that it was a signal of greater safety for those troops. But in fact, it isn't. It now means that the Israelis can open fire at will on that Irish position because they no longer have troops in proximity. And simply what they did was they manoeuvred north as part of their acts of advance. And in the past, the Israelis have shown no distinction, certainly in Gaza, between Palestinians and Hamas. They're showing no distinction between ordinary Lebanese civilians, as we saw in Beirut last night with the killing of 22 people, and they didn't get the Hezbollah target. And they will not draw a distinction between Hezbollah and the UN. So in the past, the Israelis have deliberately targeted UN peacekeepers in general, and Irish peacekeepers in particular. Now, I've experienced that myself. We've come under direct and indirect fire from the Israelis. We took the local civilian population onto our post when the fighting deteriorated, and as did our neighbouring UN position at Qana.
Yeah.
And the Israelis targeted Qana and massacred 106 men, women and children on the UN post and killed peacekeepers. So I would share the concerns of the Secretary General of the UN. I think the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste have been very vocal in their descriptions of the firing on the UN positions as intolerable. But I would say to the families, you know, of troops listening, they are the eyes and ears of the international community. And while they can't stop what Israel is doing, they certainly inhibit them. And it is saving life, because not all Lebanese can flee the area. I know from my experience, the elderly, disabled, young mothers whose husbands are maybe working in Africa or elsewhere, they can't leave unaccompanied. And you see young women becoming dehydrated, trying to breastfeed their babies. They're in absolute extremis. So they're the people who are stuck behind in the villages, and they're the people that our Irish troops are protecting.
And Colin Sheridan, again, who also served in Lebanon, has been writing in The Examiner about this week. You retweeted it. And he spoke about the fact that, you know, those 41,000, 42,000 dead in Gaza, how few eyes the world has had on what's happened, and that the 380 so Irish troops, they are restricted in their job because of this escalation, but never have those eyes been more important. But the question is, how tenable is it to keep those eyes there?
They have never looked away, and Irish troops will do, you know, and we have troops who are due to rotate. Every last one of them will want to go and relieve their troops in position. On a practical level, the 33 troops that are in 6-52 who have been isolated there, you know, the main running water will have been, they don't have resupply from the water truck. The latrines, the sewage system will be, I would say, probably not functioning. They're probably eating some frozen food if they have any left, but and probably started into the ration packs. Morale will be very high. I know that. They're in constant communication. But they will have to get those people out of 6-52 and replace them possibly with a smaller number of troops to carry out the observation function. But questions will have to be asked about the viability of the mission if it deteriorates into full on ground assault by Israeli troops, which I think is going to happen. I think they're going to go on two axes of advance, one up the coast road towards Tyre and Sidon, past Nakura, which they've now already started to probe by fire. And people should understand that the Israelis have breached all of the laws of armed conflict in Gaza. When the international military advanced like that, it's called advance to contact. But the Israelis don't do it that way. They do a thing called reconnaissance by fire. When they manoeuvre, they open fire on everything in front of them. Civilian houses, mosques, churches, schools, what they believe to be Hezbollah targets. They don't wait to be fired upon, according to the laws of engagement. They open fire on everything and kill, as we have seen in Gaza, you know, over 42,000, mostly innocent men, women and children.
It's very frightening for families. You've spoken about the families, hearing what you're saying, caring for their loved ones and just so frightened for them.
Yeah, but again, for the families to know that force protection is the absolute priority here. Non-essential personnel will be taking cover. And, you know, since I was there, they've improved in leaps and bounds. And even in terms of the personal protective equipment, flak jackets and helmets, the armoured vehicles that they have, there's a direct line of communication from the troops back to Defence Forces headquarters and the general staff here. The Director of Operations, the Director of Intelligence, the Chief of Staff will be watching this minute by minute, hour by hour, as are communications back to Nakura, to UN headquarters and to New York. And for people to understand, there are 10,000 troops out there, Italians, French, Hungarians, and they're all now calling in their Israeli ambassadors. So the families should know that it's not just a national effort to ensure the safety of our people. They're not safe, they're in harm's way, but to ensure that we get everybody home, but also that this is an international effort. However, I would say Netanyahu is at this point out of control. His ultimate end game is to try and provoke a war with Iran. There's a kind of an ideological position that amongst, you know, right-wing Israelis that they should take out Iran before it goes nuclear. They'll want to try and involve the United States by provoking a direct confrontation with Israel. This is all part, or with Iran, this is all part of that play. So the next few weeks will, in the run-up to the US presidential election, will be particularly dangerous.
I want to ask you one final question about another story that's been in the news this week since the Sunday Times report of an IRGC member, codenamed Agent Cobalt, and somebody who had been in contact with the Russians. Micheál Martin saying yesterday he hadn't been briefed on this. He was very concerned about how, if there were security information that was important like this, it ended up in a newspaper. And Fine Gael's Alan Farrell is looking for, you know, training for IRGC members in terms of the risk of espionage and so on. What's your response to these latest developments?
So I read the article in the Sunday Times very closely, and I know John Mooney, I know him for a long time, and I have a lot of respect for him. I felt that what was described was a very low level sort of type of activity. And, you know, TDs and senators, I'm only there 2.5 years, but we are approached all of the time by foreign embassies. Like, for example, I went to Washington 3 weeks ago for briefings at Langley at CIA headquarters. I was in the Pentagon, in the National Security Center, in the White House, you know, talking about Ukraine and the Middle East. Some of the people that I meet, were they spies? Absolutely. Certainly at CIA headquarters, they were spies. And I imagine that the US would hope that I would probably incorporate some of their positions and views into my speaking points. Does that make me an agent of influence for the United States? And similarly with other embassies, what was described here to me was in the article was something along those lines. However, the individual, it would appear, was identified as a member of the Soviet intelligence services. And, you know, I am sure that across all the embassies, they're reporting back and, you know, writing reports about different people and their political orientation. Would I call it an act of spying that risks the security of the state? It potentially is embarrassing, but I think it's a bit more like carry on spying than, you know, I mean, all that's missing is Kenneth Williams, really, in terms of the gravity of it, I suppose, as I would see it. And, you know, I've had a long time to reflect on intelligence matters over the, like, back since 1989. I think I would share the Taoiseach's concern about, sorry, the Taoiseach's concern about the manner in which this was leaked to the media and the timing of that leaking. Why now? And, you know, we'll probably learn more in the coming days.
Senator Tom Clonan, thank you.